Hello, folks. This is Brother Nick stepping in for Pastor Curtis McMiller on another edition of the Answer the Call broadcast. Thank you so much for tuning us into your home this evening. If you have your Bible handy, we are going to be looking in the book of Ezra. The book of Ezra, chapter number 1. About a half a century after the Babylonians had ransacked Jerusalem and carried Jews into captivity, Persia is now the new world power. King Cyrus allows a group of exiles to return to Judah to rebuild the temple. You know, folks, every year we go through times of seasons, as is recorded in the Word of God in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. We just went through here in America what's known as election season, and boy, am I glad that it is over. But every season has something beautiful about it: summer, spring, fall, and winter. Of course, we are now in the fall season, and we see the changing of the leaves, we get to enjoy hot apple cider, and of course, who could forget Thanksgiving? Every season will always have something beautiful about it, and this is the topic I want to talk about. A season to give thanks. A season to give thanks. If you're in the book of Ezra, we're going to start in chapter 1, verse 1. Now, Ezra continues the Old Testament narrative of 2 Chronicles by showing how God fulfills his promise to return his people to the land of promise after 70 years of exile. And picking up in Ezra chapter 1, verse 1, "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem," which is in Jerusalem. So the people of Israel were in captivity, and the Spirit of God moved in the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, to have God's people rebuild the temple there in Jerusalem. So they were given the charge, they were given the command, and they did so. Now, after making their way back to Jerusalem, you can read in the rest of Ezra chapter 1 the things that they were blessed with, the various victuals and materials in order to help them with the rebuilding of the temple. Chapter number 2 goes into all the names of the people that were able to return from captivity as well. But our focus this evening is going to be in chapter number 3. And in chapter number 3, starting in verse number 1, it says, "And when the seventh month was come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. Then stood up Jeshua, the son of Jehozadak, and his brethren the priest, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, and builded the altar of the God of Israel, to offer burnt offerings thereon, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. And they set the altar upon his bases, for fear was upon them because of the people of those countries. And they offered burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord, even burnt offerings morning and evening." So after their great exile from the Babylonians, the children of God, the children of Israel rather, were able to return to their homeland. And what was the first thing they were able to do? Even before they were able to lay the foundation of this temple of the Lord, they first built the altar. Now, the altar, of course, was a place where people would give offerings and sacrifices. So, in other words, when the children of Israel first returned back home, they gave praise and glory and offerings unto God because their captivity, their bondage, had now come to an end. The children of Israel found it necessary to give God what was his, and that was glory. But what about you, my friend? after a great exile, or perhaps after a great bondage or time of battle, does the first thing you do, do you give God glory and honor because he has gotten you through it? Or rather, do you find yourself unthankful, ungrateful, and not so focused on the goodness and the greatness of God? Now remember, the whole reason why they got to return home was to rebuild the house of God. But even before they could start building, they wanted to make sure that their hearts were right with God. They wanted to give God glory. They wanted to offer burnt offerings, and it even says in verse number 5, they even gave of the freewill offering as well. You continue to read in the Word of God in chapter number 3, and you'll see that they also had a feast, which according to Moses, that they also kept as it was written. For the children of Israel, they had a purpose and they had a deliverance. Their purpose was to rebuild the house of God, and their deliverance was from the bondage they had been in. But how about you? Do you live each day with purpose, knowing that you are delivered from the bondage of death? My friends, we need to have a real purpose in our lives. Is our purpose only to make money, to make a name for ourselves, to live for the things and experiences of this world? If it is, let me tell you, my friends, it will be an empty experience. It will be an empty life. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ gives us exactly our purpose. It's found in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. He says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That is our purpose, friends. We must make sure that our fellow man has heard the gospel. And my friends, that is our purpose. That is our deliverance. Knowing that we have been saved from the bondage of sin, death, and hell itself, we need to put ourselves in the position to say, wow, we have a great God. We are so thankful knowing that he has entrusted us with the great gospel. But the gospel message, my friends, is only part of this thankful season. The other half is found in Matthew's gospel, chapter 28, verses 19 through 20, where our Lord says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen." Folks, it's such a great thing, and it's a thankful thing, knowing that we are saved by grace through faith, as the Bible tells us. And we can be so thankful that we can give the gospel to other people, that they too can be saved. But we must also be willing to grow in grace. That is a reason to be thankful as well, because God tells us in his word we should be teaching the nations the glorious gospel. Our purpose in life, our deliverance, is from bondage and from sin. It's to give God glory for everything he has done and to raise the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ up in this blessed season we know as Thanksgiving. We can be so thankful knowing that God has given us this amazing purpose to live with true gratitude for this season. But my friends, we need to be careful, because the things we've been blessed with can indeed take our focus away from the one who has blessed us, the Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. President Calvin Coolidge once said, "As we have grown and prospered in material things, so also should we progress in moral and spiritual things. We are a God-fearing people who should set ourselves against evil and strive for righteousness in living and observing the golden rule. We should, from our abundance, help and serve those less fortunately placed. We should bow in gratitude to God for his many favors." Oh, my friends, it is such a blessing knowing that we live here in America, knowing that we have the freedoms that we have, knowing that we have all that God has given us here. But remember that our thanks and praise should not be for the things we have. Our praise and thanks should always be the one who's given us to begin with. The psalmist once wrote in Psalms 18:49, "Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praise unto thy name." in Psalm 30, verse 12, "To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever." Psalm 75, verse 1 says, "Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks. For that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare." And in Psalms 106, verse 1, the psalmist writes, "Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Folks, we just have so many great things to be thankful to God for. But the number one, the biggest one, should be for our salvation found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone in this season has a time of giving thanks. Maybe they're thankful for a job. They may be thankful for a family. They may be thankful for a promotion. They may be thankful for a position. But my friends, are you thankful this season that you're saved by grace through faith? Are you thanking the God of heaven who reached down with the Lord Jesus Christ and reached down to us wretched sinners in love and said, "I love you"? In John 3:16, our Savior says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." My friends, this season, we should focus more on the one who has blessed us and not the blessings themselves. I am thankful for all the blessings I have been given this season and the seasons prior and the seasons to come. But my focus, my praise, my thanks will always be to the God of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. But what about you, my friend? Are you someone who's giving thanks, honor, and praise to the God of heaven for your salvation? If not, why not? Would you be willing to be thankful this season? Would you be willing to give God praise? Would you be willing to answer the call?